Chapter 42. Kurt broke the surface. In the light of the fire, he could see water pouring in from higher up. The gash in the wall had torn upward like a zipper, and the sea was crashing down like a waterfall. Kurt had no hope of swimming free. He was carried forward on the current to where the two streams met. There he was pushed upward and then dragged under before being forced to the side and reaching the surface once again. He bumped into a floating body. It was Miar. He was unresponsive and bleeding from a gash on the head. Kurt had no idea if the man was dead or alive, but he grabbed a hold of him as they were carried around the sphere and up toward the top of the dome. Floating junk and debris gathered around them. Kurt protected his head as they banged the wall, and he grasped at another body as it swept past. But it rolled and slipped from Kurt's hand, vanishing into the downwash from the incoming water. Hoping to avoid the same fate, Kurt kicked hard and sped past the inflow point. On the next circuit, he grabbed onto a collection of pipes that spanned the dome's curved ceiling. The current pulled hard, but he held fast, clutching Miar to him with his free arm. The current finally began to slow. The water had climbed above the split in the wall once again, and for the moment, the remains of the structure held. Kurt looked up. An 8-foot gap was all that remained between him and the very top and center of the sphere. A bubble of air and toxic gases were trapped in that gap, and Kurt became thankful once again for his rebreather. Drawing oxygen from the regulator was far preferable to searing his lungs on whatever was trapped around him. There was a slight murmur from Miar, and his eyes opened just a sliver. Kurt pressed the backup regulator into Miar's mouth. He immediately spat it out.
Where are we?
Kurt briefly pulled the regulator from his own mouth. Back where we started, he said, only higher up. The whole sphere is flooded, but we can still get out of here. He took a breath from the regulator and forced Miar to do the same. Miar looked around groggily.
Where's your friend?
Hopefully swimming free. We need to do the same. Kurt looked at his watch. They'd been down there too long to get out without a decompression stop. But their position at the top of the sphere would work. They were only 60 feet below the surface. He got Miar's attention, pointed to the crack in the wall of the sphere. Miar nodded. Kurt held up 3 fingers, then 2, then 1. Letting go of the pipe, but holding on to Miar, he swam toward it, dragging Miar with him. The swirling current had not completely disappeared, as the water continued to churn under its own momentum. Intent not to miss the gap, Kurt bumped his way along the wall until he found it. The torn section of the sphere was too narrow to fit into at the top, but a few feet down it was a gaping wound. Kurt dragged Miar downward, through the opening, and out into the sea. Without the helmet, Kurt had no hope of seeing anything. He engaged the power assist and swam away from the ship as rapidly as he could. Releasing a stream of bubbles now and then, Kurt kept himself oriented. After a few minutes swimming at that depth, he allowed himself and Miar to rise, ascending slowly and finally breaking the surface. Kurt spotted the lights of Bermuda, turned on his side, and began pulling Miar with him. The power assist was operating, but not nearly as effective without flippers. Kurt was glad for all the help he could get. A few minutes into their swim, he felt the rumble of several explosions through the water, which went off in series as one tank after another ruptured down below. Seconds later, a single, much larger detonation told him the rest of the tanks had gone up simultaneously. A series of white water eruptions broke the surface, and the resulting waves pushed Kurt and Miar farther toward the shore. It would be another 20 minutes before Kurt spied the Pavati. Arriving at the anchored boat, he pushed Miar up onto the dive platform and climbed the ladder. The boat was dark and still. A quick look confirmed that Joe was not aboard. Either he was out there in the open ocean, or he'd never escaped from the submerged ship.